Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's line of scrimmage, Zwinak left side, breaks tackles, and is in. Touchdown, Penn State.
Over to the right side with the carry is Turber to the end zone. Touchdown, Shikalimi.
Put down by Ryan, kick is up by Ficken, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good. And the Nittany Lions now have a seven-point lead.
Braves knocking on the door, handoff right side, leaning ahead, and touchdown. Shikalimi as McCreary just sneaks it over and breaks the plane of the goal. And the Braves have the lead for the first time tonight.
Snap of the money, put down. Kick is up by Sam Ficken, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good. And Penn State has that two-score lead.
Here comes Gower, back to pass, into the end zone, touchdown. Lewisburg Newcomb had nobody looking at him on the post pattern.
With some time, pump fakes, long and deep, wide open, Geno Lewis. He's got the 40, 30, 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State, 79 yards from Christian Hackenberg to Geno Lewis.
It's a screen pass to Turber, halfback pass, and it is caught for a touchdown! Nick Dunn makes the catch as Turber on the halfback pass grabs it in the end zone, and the Braves tied at 20-all with the extra point pending on the most exciting play of the ball game.
Good snap, put down to win the game. The kick is up, and the kick by Sam Ficken is good! And the Nittany Lions dramatically win the first game of the James Franklin era as Sam Ficken knocks it home 26-24.
So you're saying Shikalimi, based on your play-by-play, used an illegal play to score?
Oh, now where are you coming up with that?
Well, he threw a screen pass, and then he threw a halfback pass.
Well, you got to understand, it was down on the far right end of the field. It was about the 15-yard line.
Bob, do we have the violence? Cue the violence, man, please. I mean, so they throw two forward passes.
It looked like a screen pass when I saw it out of the corner of my eye. And then I saw him set up to throw the ball.
So they threw two forward passes. If I'm Lewisburg, I protest.
Yeah, apparently the officials missed the call on that one. And, you know, I will, in Kevin's defense, though, Steve, I've been to the Shikalimi, or I've been to the stadium a lot. And it looks like the black hole of Calcutta.
When you do high school football, okay, you don't have the angles that we have, okay? I did the Rose Bowl from the goal line, but because we're elevated, okay, I had zero issue with anything.
Mm-hmm. No. I had no problem with the elevation or the angle. It was just the way I looked at the field. It looked like a screen pass setting up, and then all of a sudden I see him set up to throw the ball. I'm like, well, too late now. I had good vision. It was out of the corner of my eye. I saw him flare out, and I thought, "Oh, screen pass."
So they threw two passes.
Getting back to what I said before, is it threw forward passes? Is that what you're saying?
So Lewisburg is protesting the game.
Not that I'm aware of.
There are people taking to the streets of Lewisburg now in protest.
So we go to the month of August, where really nothing happens,
right
until the very end. And now the disappointment that half the schools are out of it. Your system is not fun.
I'm still having fun. That's all that matters to me, as long as I'm having fun.
90% of the time, you're miserable.
No. I love this time of year.
But August is over.
Hey, even the Phillies won yesterday. And threw a no-hitter. It took like four pitchers, but, you know.
You should have heard the Braves guys yesterday. I mean, honest to goodness, because I was listening to the game on Sirius, because, I mean, Papelbon's going to come on and try and finish out a no-hitter. I thought, well, this will be neat to listen to. And here's the pitch. He popped him up, and he's over on the right side, makes the catch, and the Phillies no-hit the Braves. Final score, 7-0. Back with more in a moment on the Braves Health South Radio Network. What?
Yeah, it was a no-hitter, well, for heaven's sake.
But it was a no-hitter against your team, so I can understand the melancholy sound.
Once again, the Braves flag is at half-mast after watching this disgraceful performance.
Can you believe the Braves couldn't even get a hit today?
All right, let's check out the line score. 7 runs, 12 hits, no errors. The Braves had no runs, no hits. What? They got no hits? They got no... Fill in the swear word hits.
Must have come as a great surprise.
Thank you, Bob Uecker.
Yeah. Came as a great surprise after 9 innings that there were no hits.
You can't say that on the air. Yeah. Oh, nobody's listening anyway. They had a saying up in the Crow Park press box from the guy who's the legendary 6-decade announcer of Gaelic football. And the quote was, "If anyone's listening out there, just give us 5 more minutes." I thought that was funny. Irish hurling.
Yes.
They came over and they showed us. Okay, at the end of practice, we were supposed to do a jersey exchange. I thought, okay, that's right. They'll all get Gaelic shirts in exchange for Penn State football jerseys. I got it, fine. And they came over and they were going to do a quick demonstration. I thought, well, yeah. So Jack and I stayed for the demonstration. We thought that would be neat, you know, because I'd like to see the pros go out there and try Irish hurling or Gaelic football and see how they do it. No. They then took the players over to a field turf area at UCD, and for an hour and a half taught them how to play. And when it first started, I thought, this isn't... If I were the head coach, I'd be fit to be tied watching this. You know, my first thought would be, well, what if somebody catches a cleat? Whatever. Yet, I was dead wrong. I mean, dead wrong. It was absolutely the right thing to do. The players not only liked it, loved it, and embraced it, and had a great time with it. So they taught us all how to take that piece of ash and pick up the ball, run with the ball, hit the ball. And they can hit the ball up to 120 miles per hour. I mean, 120. I guess the best can do it at 150, but for the most part, 120 to 130. So at the, you know, and I took my shots with that thing and it had a blast. It was great. Well, then they brought in the national team goalie who was there, and the players were allowed to take shots. It's like, save. Well, some of them, of course, sailed over the fence. I think they said they lost 20 balls. I said, that's okay. You'll make up for it in ticket sales Saturday. And he saved. And then finally, somebody took a real good swing at it, stuck his hand out, caught it, flipped it away like it was nothing. I looked over at Franklin. I said, well, James, it's official. That dude is toying with us.
Now I wonder. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I wonder, did you try the road bowling while you were there?
Try what?
Road bowling. I found it very intriguing, road bowling. You basically take a 2-mile stretch of road, and you try as you have two guys competing, and it's basically a rounded off stone that you bowl down the street, or you bowl down the road, and whoever gets to the finish line first wins. It's called road bowling. Wherever it stops, that's where you have to make the next throw. You didn't see any of that while you were there. It's a very, very popular sport.
Okay. So
sorry, I learned something from Kenny Mayne, all right? Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, forget that. I asked 4 UCD students. Actually, 5 UCD students. They were at practice on Thursday. So I figured here's a good chance to really learn something about sports in this country. And by the way, they thought Jack Ham being there was the greatest thing going. I mean, I can't believe you brought Jack Hum. Jack Hum's here. I said, sure, come on over. I'll introduce you to him. Because you remember Dan Rooney, of course, had been the ambassador to Ireland.
A lot of Steeler fans in Ireland, yeah.
Yes, a lot of Steeler fans, more so than in Northumberland County. And so I asked them, I said, look, we see English Premier League soccer, which has become very popular in the United States. Where is Irish Premier League soccer in relevance to that? And they held their hands as far apart as they could and said it's like a chasm. They said the Dublin team plays there. He said there are more people today at this practice than there are at their games. Now, Cedarcliff and Penn Manor played on that field Friday night in football. You didn't know that, right?
No, wait, they played where?
They played in Dublin.
No, I did not know that.
You're the high school football guy.
That's not my, you know, zone of high school football, okay?
Yeah. You started out, you're open by saying there are 500-plus teams in the state playing.
I didn't say where they were playing. I just said they were playing.
I guess we won't ask them which team won.
No, we won't. And so they said there are more people at that practice than there are at the Irish Premier League soccer. I said, well, okay, well, what's the number one sport in the country? They told me in terms of participants, Gaelic football is number one in the country. But in terms of television ratings, Irish hurling is number one. Three is rugby, then soccer is four. Thought that's interesting. So then, at halftime, they had Irish hurling. And it was awesome watching the guys that are really great at it participate. It's fast. It's great, and it's fast. So we came back from a break, and Jack and I started talking about the game. And I said, you know, I said, I'll tell you the guy that impresses me, Jack, is number 12. And Jack says, yeah. He says, now look at 12. He says, 12, Steve. He says, the way he moves, he says, and the power of his swing. And I looked over and says, man, I said, you can announce hurling too. Right? So I told him the story about Johnny Most. It's a story time with Steve Poynter.
All right.
All right.
We're with you.
Yeah, I'm ready to go here.
Johnny Most, because we were talking about number 12 and how good number 12 was. We also thought number 4 and number 10 were good, too. Johnny Most, back in the 80s, the NBA champion, would participate in the McDonald's Basketball Classic in Europe. And that's who represented the United States, was the NBA defending NBA champion. Well, the Celtics in 84 won the championship. So they go over in, I don't know, October of 84 to play in Sarajevo or someplace like that. And they're playing the Croatian national team. And Johnny Most, the longtime Celtics crusty play-by-play guy, here's Dennis Johnson, DJ out to McHale, and a bird fades away. It's good. Celtics now lead it. Here comes five up to 10, over to 15. 15, he wouldn't say the names, right? He wouldn't say the names. He goes, and off to 12, and 12 shoots and scores. I'll tell you, 12's a good shooter. He would do the numbers. He wouldn't say the names. And that's what we were kidding about at halftime, talking about how 12, hey, 12's really good, because we didn't know who the heck 12 was.
By the way, the World Basketball Championship is actually being held right now. Yep. And this morning, the USA team continued their unbeaten streak by beating my second adopted country of New Zealand, 97-81.
Anthony Davis had 21 points, the center for the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back.
Kevin's still happy. There are only 200 teams that have a chance to now be down to 100. His is one of the 200 teams.
You can't guarantee that it'll be cut down in half again.
Good point.
Yeah. But under your theory, nobody should show up at a game after September 20th.
Well, that's when he works on the playoff rankings.
I've not started that yet, just for the record, so don't ask.
You already have the 2016 playoff picture done.
Don't ask.
Can we talk about two quick things? Jim Irsay got a 6-game suspension. So, okay, reckless driving and DUI, which is awful, terrible, bad. He gets exactly what he deserves, 6 games, but Ray Rice gets 2. That's interesting.
Yeah, kind of a...
Yeah.
What's the word? Inequitable or something along those lines? Well, just didn't pass the smell test.
Right, there's nothing wrong with the suspension Jim Irsay got. It makes complete sense. I have no issue at all. But, you know, you can't just sit there and keep defending what they did with Ray Rice. I'm sorry. Okay, he should have had a half season. Half season. Okay, he should not be allowed in the month of October to put on a pink wristband. Okay, he lost that right. Okay, and evidently they have the elevator footage of it. Next. Okay, that's done.
Okay.
But let me ask you about Irsay real quick. I mean, a 6-game suspension for an owner seems kind of silly to me. I mean, he's still going to be able to... I mean, he's still going to collect all the money. He still owns the team when he's done. He just can't show up at any of the games for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but it's symbolic. It's symbolic more than anything else.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's still... Okay. You know what the best thing to be is? Suspended with pay. All right, now...
Right!
In life, one of the better things to be is suspended with pay.
No
really?
Question.
You're still going to give me the money and I don't have... Really?
Yes.
Okay. Suspended with pay. Really, not a bad route to go.
I mean, it does cost him $500,000. So, you know, I guess there is... I guess they factor in what he could make over those 6 games and came up with that money, or that dollar figure.
Look, it's just a fine. He still did it, whatever. The Ray Rice thing, no matter how Roger Goodell spins it, whatever, he flat out missed the mark.
He blew it.
Okay? He just did. And so did the Ravens. The Ravens were like, we'll let the league take care of it. Show some guts as an organization. Do it yourself.
And I'll say the same thing for the Steelers. I think they should do something too.
You have the footage like everybody else. You can do it. You're the club.
But
you can take care of it.
Something called a collective bargaining agreement, though, that has to factor into
Okay. Not on this, Bob. It factors in on the case Kevin's talking about. Okay, when it comes to Bell and Blunt, it does factor in. Okay, there's a drug policy in the NFL. There is no policy on this. Okay, there's nothing in the collective bargaining agreement about this. It's in every player's contract about personal conduct. Okay, take my word, if 2 games were the max, okay, the NFL would have explained under the collective bargaining agreement 2 games were the max because that would have been their bailout.
But
Roger Goodell chose this, and he chose wrong. He missed it. When you are trying to get, okay, why do American companies do everything they can to get markets overseas?
Expand the client base.
Exactly. So if you're the National Football League, a male-dominated industry, how do you expand your viewership and how do you expand the number of people in the stands?
Well, they've done that with female numbers.
Right. Female viewership. Okay? Guess what? Okay? If anybody that has looked at the videotape of inside the elevator says it's not pretty. Roger Goodell messed up. Admit it. Just say, you know what? I judged this thing wrong and move on. Don't get stubborn we were right. No, you weren't right. Okay? You missed it. Okay? You missed it. You had a chance to send a message to all the women that you have tried to cultivate out there to be fans of your league. And when it came time to do something, you looked around and go, 2 games is fine. Really? Really?
And by the way, that's 45% of the viewing audience right now in the NFL is female.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Exactly right, Kevin. Good point. Now, the next thing is the big story about the Redskins. Everybody's doing commentaries about the Redskins right now. It's a very popular thing to do. I am still waiting for the story where a reporter... Now, first of all, let's start with this. There'll be no talk show host that does this. That would entail actually leaving the studio besides getting dinner. All right, so they're not going to do this. I'm waiting for the reporter to actually go out to a series of meetings with Native Americans or to Indian reservations and talk with them and get their opinions. Not in a poll, but actually talk with them and find out what the biggest issues are in their lives and whether or not they care at all about the Redskin nickname. I don't want to hear Congress getting involved. Okay? Another journalist was beheaded today. Okay? ISIS is your job, not the Redskins. Okay? So all politicians, except for giving a personal opinion, I don't want to hear your opinion. Take care of my taxes. Take care of ISIS. Take care of my border. England, when I was over in Ireland, was put on a level 4 out of 5. Okay? September 11th is coming up. Take care of that. That's why I pay you. I don't pay you for your opinion on the Redskins. I don't care about your opinion about the Redskins. I care about Native Americans' opinions about the Redskins. Harry Reid, I don't care about your opinion about anything, Harry, at all. Just do what you're paid to do. All right? As for Native Americans, I care deeply about your opinion.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance, and service and price means something to you. It means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, by the way, driving a Ford F-150. That's a beast, man. And it has an air-conditioned seat, which Kevin's always dreamed of.
It is. I mean, I never even imagined it existed until just on Friday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Now, that is great.
You know they come with moonroofs too, Steve? Did you know that?
Nice.
I didn't know a truck had moonroof too.
Yeah. Kevin got the full package. I mean, sure the truck, did. The 150.
There is no reason if you're a truck person, there's no reason why you shouldn't be looking at this one.
Well, go to Sunbury Motors and say, "You know what? I want to buy the truck Kevin's driving."
And he'll personally autograph it as well.
No, they're trying to sell the truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I don't want to devalue the truck. Yeah.
It's the price minus $100 with Kevin's autograph in it.
Okay. I mean, here's a big word for you, depreciation. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the game. That's at Sunbury Motors, by the way, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. There's three things that jump out to me, and everything I saw was correctable. So let's get to the correctable things. They'll have to be better on kickoff coverage. All right, no doubt about that. There was one long kickoff return against them, and then on the other one, Sam Ficken had to actually make the tackle. You don't really want your kicker making tackles at the 30, 32-yard line. And that needs to be buttoned down. You know darn well that that will be a point of emphasis this week. Now that you have it in practical application, I expect that to be better, but that needs to be buttoned down. Number two, the one corner spot, whether it's Daquan Davis or Trevor Williams, each time the guy is in position to make a play. Now, you want to know the difference between Jordan Lucas and Williams and Davis at this particular hour is that Lucas is in position to make plays, and he makes the play. Davis and Williams do a great job of getting in position. They don't get beat deep. They don't get guys behind them. They're in position to make the play. They have to make the next step and start making the play. I mean, so they have to do that. Now, the fourth down play, DeReese, when UCF took the lead, was just a flat-out great, great catch. You can't defend it any better. It doesn't really matter how you defend it. when a guy goes up and makes a great catch. That's the equivalent of blaming the Michigan secondary for the Allen Robinson catch at the half-yard line. I'm sorry, you can't defend that play. And on that play, Reese just made an awesome catch, and sometimes you just have to give the other guy credit. But they need to get that corner spot over there where they're going from being in great position, which they are, to then making plays. They have to make that next step. And the offensive line, the pass protection was really good in the game. Where they need to be better is to get a consistent ground game going. Now, I think UCF was a big reason why they couldn't get consistency in the ground game, because they're really good defensively. They have 9 of 11 starters back on that defense. And the middle linebacker, Plummer, the safety, Gethers, and the corner, Glenn, can play and start for any Big Ten team, those three guys. They're really, really good. But they couldn't get the consistency in the ground game, 4, 5, 6, 7 yards a pop when they were running the ball. But the number inside the number that a lot of people don't realize is on third down and less than 3, Penn State 7 times in that situation on third and less than 3, 7 times ran the ball. 5 times they got first downs. So that's a little gem in there that tells you that when the money was on the table to keep the drive going, they made the play. And to me, that's something for a nugget out of there that you can take with you, saying that there's a little bit more out of it than people realize.
Steve, I think the one stat that stood out to me was third down conversions.
10 of 18 in third down conversions. And in the ball game, they did a great job of converting virtually no matter what the situation happened to be. That's what I like. They were 10 of 18. Let me revise that number. In the ball game, in third down and 5+, Penn State, I think, converted 5 times in the game.
I think that's
in
right.
Third and 5+. Which is really, that's big if you can do that. In fact, no, they were 4 of 8 in third and 5+. 4 of 8 third, okay. 5+. 6 of 10 in third and less than 4. But they were 5 of 7 in converting with the ground game. The other plus is, in terms of down and distance, is that UCF had 13 third down plays. And 11 of the 13 were better than 5 yards, which tells me on first and second down, Penn State was doing a good job. I thought Bob Shoup called a really good game. I thought John Donovan called a good game. I thought John Donovan figured out very quickly where his strengths and weaknesses happened to be in that game, and he played to his strengths, and I think it's a big reason why they won. And I love Bob Shoup's aggressiveness. Love his aggressiveness on defense and the combinations that he plays with out there. I think Penn State is really well served by the coordinators on this team.
Well, the offensive schemes, I thought, really and obviously led to the record-setting performance. But weren't they bringing linemen into the backfield and doing just all kinds of what I won't call them innovative, but some things we hadn't seen Penn State do in a while?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it before, not to this extent. Maybe they use Wendy Laurent on third down and short as a second tight end on the wing. So that's where you saw that extra lineman come into the game. Now, there's certain plays, for example, where they did a throwback where Andrew Nelson was eligible. And, of course, you have to play it all the way out. And he's standing out in the open. He's waving his hands. I'm thinking, I admire that, but if the ball goes to you, that's not good.
Yeah.
So.
But a record-setting performance by Christian Hackenberg. I mean, he threw for a lot of yards, and in doing so, passed a lot of great Penn State quarterbacks. So, not a bad first game for the sophomore from Virginia.
No, look, when Penn State goes into every game now, and maybe this is a bold statement to make,
after 13 games. They go into the game with the best player in the field every game. Even if they're playing Ohio State, and Ohio State had Braxton Miller, Penn State would still be going into the game with the best player in the field. And that's a great luxury to have.
No question. When Penn State
played Central Florida last year, Penn State did not have the best player in the field. UCF had the best player in the field, Blake Bortles. And he ended up being the third overall pick in the NFL draft. But going into the game, you knew Bortles had a chance to be the best player in the field. He was the best player in the field. And in the end, it played out where as the best player in the field, he made the biggest plays. Now, I feel like no matter what game Penn State plays in, they walk into the game with the best player on the field, and it turns out it's their quarterback. He has to play to that, but you know the potential going in is you have the best player in the field. That's a great luxury to have, knowing that every time.
And there's a good supporting cast to go with it. I mean, you can be the best player in the field, but if you've got 10 guys that aren't at some appropriate level, it may not make a difference. But he has a great supporting cast. We found out there was a couple guys on the wideouts that can catch the ball quite well.
Well, we know about Geno Lewis. He was a known entity going into the game, and he really picked up where he left off. He had one drop, but other than that, he made some great plays, and the catch off the rebound was spectacular and showed his concentration. That was big. Deshaun Hamilton played really well. 11 catches, 165 yards, co-freshman of the week in the Big Ten. And he, I thought, played really, really well. He has the speed, the ability. Saeed Blacknall and Chris Godwin eventually are going to be really good. And Godwin and Blacknall bring to the table speed, but also size, and really good hands. To be frank with you, the fumble by Godwin was in part because of a mediocre throw by Hackenberg. He threw it too high, and in the process of going up to getting the ball, he left the ball exposed to be knocked out coming down because he had to go too high to get it. The defense by UCF on the flanker screens and the slip screens was exemplary. You're not going to get many teams that play that play as well as they did. Allen Robinson always had the ability to take that ball and pick his way through traffic. These guys aren't quite there yet in their ability to pick their way through traffic the way Robinson did. But also, you're not going to face a corner like Jacoby Glenn or a safety like Gethers that had the ability to come over and play a play like they did. I also thought Troy Gray for UCF played really, really well. So when I look at Penn State, everything I see is correctable. The 9 penalties, way too many. You've got to cut that in 2/3. You've got to get it down to 3 to maybe 4 penalties max per game. So they need to cut that back. They may have been first game jitters, being a little bit over anxious. So that has to be cut back. Kickoff coverage needs to be better. But now that you have a tape to work with, you can put that and implement it in practice. The running game needs to find more consistency, although the short yardage running game did its job. It's the consistent play-by-play running game where you're trying to eat up 4, 5, 6, 7 yards a pop that needs to establish itself. And we'll find out how much of that was UCF and how much of that was the offensive line when they play Akron this week. And I look at this team and I think they had a great win, a great day, a great start. The way they did was a bonding moment, because you preach situations all the time. You want the players to believe in what you're saying. They go out and believe what you're saying, and they win with it. That becomes a bonding moment between new coaching staff and players. And I expect more players to get into the mix this week. You know, not a lot more, but there'll be more. And I think as the season goes, you'll get a nice number somewhere in the 30s, maybe the mid-30s or whatever. I'm sorry, up maybe around 40 or so that are playing all the time. And I think they'll migrate in that direction. So that's what I saw out of the football game. Awesome start. The fans were unbelievable.
unbelievable. And they took over Crow Park as if it was Beaver Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. The 94 team is coming back this weekend. They're going to celebrate the 12-0 team that had five first-team All-Americans, won the Big Ten title, won the 95 Rose Bowl, the whole thing. They're back, and that will be a lot of fun Saturday at Beaver Stadium. I hope people can come out for it.
Oh, I think there's going to be a rather nice and large vocal crowd on hand. I think the enthusiasm level is just well above what I thought it would be a year ago at this time.
And by the way, I do not subscribe to the theory about the two-minute drill. The two-minute drill deal, I thought, and even said on the air at the time, I thought they handled it exactly right. I thought, you know, there were two points in there, and James has done an excellent job of staying away from this. But the American Conference officials, when Hackenberg got his first down, did not stop the clock. And that was an accident on everyone's part. And then the play on the sideline with Geno Lewis. The reason they did not call timeout right away is because the official on the sideline indicated he was out of bounds.
He signaled to stop the clock.
He signaled to stop the clock.
To stop the clock. And then the official on the field ruled to put the clock in motion. And when James saw that, then he called the timeout. So they had complete control of awareness of what was going on. And he likes to leave one timeout in his back pocket. He does like to do that because if the snap is awry, then he still has one more timeout to use. So he very much likes to have one timeout in his back pocket. I thought he handled it, and they handled it really about as well as you could hope they could possibly do it. I know some people have been critical of, like, oh, how'd they do this? They looked like they lost control. They didn't lose control of anything. If they had lost control of it, then they would have seen. They would not have noticed that the official call that started rolling the clock, and they wouldn't have called timeout with 3.5 seconds to go.
Well, and let's face it, they didn't want to leave any time on the clock when they scored either. They didn't want to give. They didn't want to give the ball back.
And you know,
but they were aware that one official called him out of bounds. They were then very aware that the referee and the main official ruled that he was in and wound the clock, and then they called timeout. They were very aware of both situations, so they were very calm and poised as to what they were doing, and that is part of the mark of a good two-minute drill. They do a lot of situational work, which is very important to them. In that situation, it paid incredible dividends because that was a great drive in the clutch.
But you know, Steve, the criticism was fostered, I believe, by the narrative put together by what I will call the amateurish announcers that ESPN had. Now, they may be great announcers, but the last couple minutes of the game, they were very hypercritical of Penn State and the coaching staff, and it was needless. The proof was in the pudding. Penn State got down and kicked the field goal and still had a second or two to go. So that scenario was contrived by the announcers on television, I thought.
Well, I didn't hear them. I never listened to them because I have my own game to worry about, so I'd have to take someone else's word for it.
It was awful because I had you on the headset, but you were a little delayed.
Yeah. Delayed. We should have been ahead.
Actually, no, ahead. Yeah. I was going to say,
because you were not. Yeah, you guys. I knew what was going on before it was actually on TV.
Right. I said, "Hey, get ready. There's going to be a big play." I can tell by Steve.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story about my colleagues in a moment. On the final play. We'll come back with that. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together, against whatever. Battle with friendship security. The Prosser Insurance Agency.
I work with great guys. Lauren Crispell, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman, Jack Hamm, of course. Well, now it comes time for Ficken to line up with Ryan Kaiser and Tyler Yazin and the entire field goal unit to kick the game winner. So, play happens. I call it. Whatever I say, whatever. We're done. And they win the game. And everybody's happy. They're all jumping up and down. And the ball game's over. Post game show's over. And Jack says, hey, you want to go meet Dan Rooney? I said, sure. And because I always carry this thing that Kevin has, a list of Steeler complaints. I figured it'd be a good chance to give it to him.
Chance.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
And so I said, sure, I'd love to go meet Dan Rooney. So we're walking, going down the elevator, and he says, I just want to tell you, partner. He says, that was a good call on the field goal. I said, thanks. He says, because I couldn't watch. I was relying on what you said. I said, oh, okay. So then we're in the Dublin Air. No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, there's more.
Now we're in the Dublin Airport. And Roger comes up to me and he says, hey, buddy, that was a good call on the field goal. I said, thanks. He says, I couldn't bear to watch. I was relying on what you said.
See, I understand where they're coming from.
Jeff Tarman on the plane tells me the same thing. I'm saying, I looked at four guys in the booth. Thank goodness one watched.
I'm glad somebody was watching what happened.
They're all so nervous they couldn't watch.
It's nice that at least one out of four or five paid attention.
Well, no, it's good as I know I have three listeners. Now, admittedly, they're paid hostages.
Yes, in that case, still, that was really what they were.
But still, they couldn't bear to watch.
I had my eyes wide open. I was right in front of the TV set, like about, I'd say, a few million Pennsylvanians holding my breath.
Well, normally, I mean, you know, you look at this, and you can kind of get a sense. But I had to wait for the official to say it, only because there are no fans down at that end, anything like that. I mean, that was the empty end.
Yeah,
that was closed off.
Raise your hand if you were leaning to keep that one in. I know, yeah. I was.
What was amazing?
I didn't know until later.
Well, you can't.
I didn't
tell.
Know until Sunday morning. I can't tell from the side of it how close it was.
No.
He wanted it over there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he told us he wanted it on the right side. Now, he didn't want it on the hash mark. He probably wanted it about 3 to 4 yards in from the hash mark. That's what he told Jack and me.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted it on the right side. He didn't want the ball centered.
And what was amazing afterwards is the Penn State fans who just stayed in the stadium, who didn't want to go, didn't want to leave.
Bob, there's no place to go.
there's three pubs on every block. I could have found a spot.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that part. Yeah. But it turns out, it wasn't like, hey, let's go home.
No, exactly.